it's, you know, being put in situations where you have to just absorb and learn. And some of them you go like, ooh, mess that one up. And I've just been super lucky along the way that all of my managers have been very trusting, and they've taken me along with them to big meetings and conversations, or say, you know what, no, you've got this, best of luck, and I've got your back no matter how it turns out, kind of thing. And so you learn and you have to be in it. And I think that's been one of the most crucial things is, like, no matter what I do day to day, it comes down to your human interactions with everybody and in along all the steps of the line.
Welcome to the Mastering Property Management Podcast. I'm your host, Jared Sarbit. Join me as we delve into candid conversations with industry experts to uncover their strategies and insights for achieving success in property management. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, let's elevate your property management skills together.
Hi, everybody. This is Jared Sarbit with Mastering Property Management. Today, I have the honor and privilege of having Tania Beefus on. Tania Beefus is the general manager of Quadreal here in Calgary. Quadreal is a very large organization, global organization, which Tania will get into further. But Tania, tell us a little bit about yourself. Go through kind of, you know, some of the milestones along the way. How did you get into property management? And, you know, go as far back as you can, as you're willing to. And then tell us a little bit about where you're at today.
Well, thanks for having me on. Going way back to how I got into this industry, I started at Oxford 22-ish years ago now, and just as a receptionist, just fell into the industry. And I was trying to think of the other day of how I actually fell into it. And it was just really interesting because I thought I just fell into it, but my family had real estate. And, you know, growing up, my dad would be at some of the buildings and releasing them, or, you know, collecting rent or clearing snow. And it didn't even, like, compute that that's what that was. And now as an adult, and I'm like, oh, I kind of followed in the same footsteps, and I didn't even realize that I did, which is kind of neat. Yeah. And then so I was at Oxford for 7.5 years. I worked my way up through the company during that time and just took courses and absorbed all I could. And then I popped over to Strategic Group for a quick stint, and kind of learned a lot in the short time that I was there. And then I had the privilege of working at Hopewell, which was just a really super part of my career. I got to have my fingers in all the different buckets. And yeah, I learned so much in the 4 years that I was there, and just a super cool group of people. That one was definitely one that I'm very happy that I got the privilege to work there. And then I got scooped up at Cadillac Fairview when they were building Calgary City Centre, which was their new office tower downtown Calgary. And it's not very often that you get to be part of a brand new build nowadays, like, of that kind of level. And I've been part of kind of like strip retail development and industrial in the past being developed, but not an office tower. It was just so neat to be a part of and get to see, and then get to onboard all the tenants and build the team around that. Yeah, that was also definitely one of the highlights of my career, I think, so far. And then flash forward 9 years, and I'm at Quadreal, and yeah, managing their industrial portfolio for Calgary. And yeah, it's just, it's a whirlwind, and it's pretty amazing.
No kidding. Wow, what a great story. And I hear a theme of good experiences, learning so much along the way. So when you came on, like, you know, at the beginning with Oxford as a receptionist, what was it like? That did you feel like, hey, I want to, this is the culture I want to be a part of, or the industry I want to be in, or was it just that they invested in you, or what kind of got you going at the beginning?
I think it was, it was my first, like, real, like, big girl job. You know, yeah. I got to work downtown, and I got to wear fancy clothes and just be part of, like, that whole energy and buzz, which I loved. And then it was the team that I had at the time, and, like, a few of them I'm still, like, really close friends with. It was such a great environment, and I was surrounded by a bunch of people who they saw kind of what value I had that maybe I didn't see yet in myself because I was so young. And and they just invested in me and supported me and taught me everything that I was willing to learn. And then there was just no looking back after that. Like, it was, I found my jam. Yeah.
That's amazing. Talking about, you know, seeing the values that you have that you may have not recognized in yourself, What are some of those? What are some of those key characteristics that, that you know, Tanya Beavis brings to the team that in the property management world that really, you know, have allowed you to shine and grow and develop in, you know, into the place you are today?
I think it's just being yourself, and I show up, I'm honest, I'm human, I think is kind of my main characteristic, is like whatever situation I'm put in, I'm just me. Like I'm my brand, and yes. You know, I'm empathetic, and I want to hear people's stories, and I want to find the best outcome for everybody, and just making sure that everything kind of works out, you know, with my corporate hat on, or, you know, my personal hat on. It's wanting to make sure that we can find a solution that everybody walks away at least okay with. Kind of thing.
Amazing.
And I think always showing up being a little bit more curious than judgy, so that you can really dig in and figure out what's actually behind someone's a little upset at, you know, us for something. You know, what are they actually upset about? You know, I know they're not yelling at me because there's a paperclip on the floor. You know, there's usually something more behind it. And so it's, I think just always being open to ask more questions and listen.
I love that. More curious and judgy. That's gold right there. Thanks for sharing. That's really good. And so when you were like, you know, learning, like, you know, you mentioned a lot of time learning along the way. Can you think of some things that really stood out as far as what did you learn? I mean, obviously it's multitude, like there's the actual day-to-day, you know, kind of operation side, but is there more that you really took away from all these different experiences that you have right now that you bring to QuadrElk?
The common theme you'll probably see is I bring everything back to people. You know, you can learn spreadsheets, you can learn, you know, how to calculate rent or those kind of things. But it's learning people, I think, is the most important part. You know, how do you manage a team and help them grow? And how do you have difficult conversations and still be professional about it or not take things personally? And, you know, and that's not something that you can just sit down and have somebody go, oh, well, textbook, you know, chapter one, this is how you deal with people. It's, you know, being put in situations where you have to just absorb and learn. And some of them you go like, ooh, mess that one up. And and I've just been super lucky along the way that all of my managers have been very trusting, and they've taken me along with them to big meetings and conversations, or said, you know what, no, you've got this, best of luck, and I've got your back no matter how it turns out, kind of thing. And so you learn and you have to be in it. And I think that's been one of the most crucial things, is like no matter what I do day to day, it comes down to your human interactions with everybody and along all the steps of the line.
I love that. Yeah, that's really good. I had similar experience, you know, when I started managing restaurants, that's where I really learned how to manage, you know, work with people. And boy, like the first year of management, I struggled so much. I made so many mistakes, and I was a jerk because I took it way too serious. But through those mistakes and the realizing everyone hated me and didn't want me around, I realized, oh my goodness, like I need to either get out of here or drastically change who I am and learn. And it was a lot of mistakes along the way, but you're right. It's kind of being in those experiences and being empowered to make mistakes, having great leaders around you. And that's awesome. Yeah. Can you tell me a little bit about, so you said you oversee the QuadrElk Industrial.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me a little bit about QuadrElk in general, and then also just kind of, you know, your portfolio a little bit?
Yeah. So QuadrElk, as you mentioned, is a big company. We're one of the big handful of players in the real estate industry. Super lucky that I was chosen for this position because it's just an absolutely amazing team. We've got residential, commercial, industrial. And our industrial portfolio, we've got just like approximately 5.5 million square feet right now, just in the Calgary area alone. And more development on the way. There's just so much and so much to look forward to. I'm pretty excited.
Awesome. Very, very cool. You're also involved in BOMA, I believe, and you're I believe you're on the board there. You know, what motivated you to join BOMA, BOMA Calgary, and what do you find most rewarding within the role working with BOMA?
I've been a part of BOMA my entire career.
Wow.
Yeah, I've been very lucky again that every company I've been at has been a big supporter, and so they've encouraged me to network and be involved. Years and years of being involved on various levels. I joined the Environmental Health and Safety Committee. I was going to say, it was like X amount of years ago, but it was like two decades ago. And it was on that committee that I met two of my best friends that are still right now. And after that, then I joined a next gen committee and, you know, made even more friends and just some really amazing people and got to just be involved in so much. And just the networking and those opportunities that BOMA has provided me that when I was offered the chance to be on the board, I was just so passionate about what I could then give back to everyone else in their careers that I've received through BOMA. There's just been so many interactions that I'm so grateful for and so many people that I never would have met had it not been for a BOMA event, getting to be on the board as a director. And then I've been treasurer for the last 2 years and then I'm chair-elect next. And I feel so honored that they would view me to be in that position. And it's just wonderful.
Amazing, amazing. So it sounds like it's really the relationships that the value there is just some incredible relationships with likely like-minded, people that are going through similar, successes and challenges and experiences that you are. And good for you for dedicating for such a long time. It sounds like multiple decades to an organization, and obviously seeing the payoff for now where you're at, and almost going to be chair elect soon. And that's amazing. Very, very good.
It's been really great. And I want to be able to encourage everyone else to be part of BOMA or be part of whatever kind of association and just get that networking in and the exposure. And, and whether it is people that are like-minded or sometimes even better if they're not, because then they challenge all your views. There's just so much you get from it.
Amazing. Awesome. Again, the theme of learning, always learning. And I can hear it right from the beginning to now. So that's awesome. Can you tell me, I know that BOMA has various events throughout the year. Could you highlight some of the signature events and initiatives that members can look forward to over the next coming time?
Yeah. And so BOMA just hosted BOMA Ski Day, which was March 15th. Always an amazing day. This past year, it was bluebird for most of the day. It was so hot and sunny, and it was an incredible day. Great turnout. We've got AGM coming up in April. Lots of luncheons. And then the BOMA Buckaroo, which is put on by the Next Gen Committee. That one's always a must. You have to go. The Christmas luncheon is always fantastic. And then in between, unless you're not looking for it, there's always an event or something that one of the committees is putting on, Next Gen, and their trivia nights or their panel sessions or there's information sessions. And there's something for everybody pretty much every month.
It's awesome. Very, very good. Yeah, we actually happen to be the platinum sponsors of the Buckaroo Bash. We did it for our first time this past summer. We're doing it again this summer because it was so much fun and such a success. So, awesome. Thank you. And so you're also completing your Bachelor of Commerce right now, is that correct, at Athabasca University?
That is, yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. So you're doing that. You're on BOMA Calgary board. General manager of Quadril. How do you balance the demands of your academic pursuits with your other responsibilities?
I think that's always something that is never a good balance and you had to figure out. And I know that my opinion on this differs from other people's, but I think, me slowly getting my commerce degree, that's benefiting me, if it takes X amount of years or, 20, whatever it is, and takes every individual. But you have to kind of, I think, balance work and life first, and then I supplement with that. It's a lot. Well, it's a huge priority. When I was first starting, you're super dedicated and you're motivated and you're like, whoa, I'm going to take all the courses. I'm going to crush this. And then my mom passed away. And, so that crippled my entire soul. And so school was, it just wasn't a priority, right? So that slows things down. And then you get yourself back up and you're like, well, I'm going to crush this again. Oh, watch out for me. And then, I went through a divorce. So it's like, okay, maybe I'm just slow down for a minute again. It's always it's finding the time to really push and when you can, and then recognizing when, okay, this year I'm going to slow down and maybe I won't, hit my personal goal of finishing so much, but I'm still going to get there. And not kind of beating myself up because, I mean, we're human, life happens. Yeah, I'd rather focus on family and my health and stuff like that. And then I'll know that everything else will follow.
Yeah, 100%. And let me first say may your mother rest in peace. And I'm very sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
Wow. Well, that's a very, very introspective perspective and very, very wise, I think. And you're right that the family needs to come first before anything, and that balance. So I think it sounds like you've taken a really smart approach to it. That's for sure. So can you tell me that, you know, like in your Bachelor of Commerce degree, as you're taking it, like what are you finding applicable to your day-to-day in Quadrille? I hear a stat, something like 85% of what you take in school, if you're not applying it to something, it kind of goes out the window. But if you're applying it to something, it's significantly higher where it's much more applicable. So are there some things that you would say, and by the way, if that 85%, I might be wrong in that stat. So don't Google that on me, but
yeah,
what would you say is that what you're finding applicable as far as your commerce degree and what you're doing in your day to day?
I mean, there's a thousand things that are applicable from what you learn. And I think in kind of any program that you take, I think it's like learning how to manage deadlines and time management. And, you know, when you feel like you're hitting a wall, it's digging in and researching more and working your way around it. I think it's, you know, asking for help when you're stubbing your toe on something or you just don't understand something. And I think those are just key concepts that we learn no matter what kind of course we're taking that are applicable in every single thing we do. You can talk about math skills or writing essays or whatnot, but I think the things that directly impact our day-to-day are those types of things, where it's time management, it's perseverance, just like asking for help and knowing it's okay.
Amazing. Very cool. What unique challenges and opportunities do you believe the new generation faces? As you mentioned, you're not long ago part of Next Gen in BOMA, so you are still in that, you know, newer generation. So what are some of the challenges compared to, you know, previous generations that we're facing now?
I think, every generation has its challenges. And I think what will be interesting for this next one coming up is just the whole like hybrid workplace and still learning kind of environment and the opportunities. I mean, there's definite benefits from being able to work from home and being remote when you need to, 1,000%. But there's no replacement or for being in a workplace and hearing the conversations that are in the cubicle next to you or in the lunchroom or just the interactions and people seeing you in the hall being like, oh, like, hey, big giant head down the hall, I'm here. You know, like when it comes to promotion time, like you recognize my face and my name. And I think so many people that are in that younger generation and are still kind of in this stage, I think that's what they're missing out on. And I don't think that we'll see what that impact is for another couple of years.
Yeah. Yeah, very interesting because you spoke about having that mentorship, having, you know, the ability to learn and around others and all of that. And you might still get that as a newcomer, but you're right, probably to a very different degree.
Yeah.
So, yeah, very interesting. Okay. So how do you think, like, you know, these young newcomers in property management, like, how can they overcome that? I guess I would guess that you'd probably say go to BOMA and you know, connect with people through there. Exactly. Anything else that you'd recommend? That how do they overcome that?
I think, it's definitely like networking if you get the chance. But if you have the option to go into the office, I think it's going into the office, even if it's just a little bit more than you were before. It's making those face-to-face kind of connections. You know, if you have tenants, you know, it's going to them in person or calling them on the phone instead of just an email or like a video chat. I think it's just really pushing yourself to make those connections and be visible. And I think then that makes you just kind of crave that interaction more too.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. And on that note, my next question is actually about technology. In what ways do you think technology is reshaping the property management practices, which you've kind of just answered a little bit of that? And how do you personally leverage technology yourself?
Well, because I'm 80 years old on the inside, I'm not very technologically savvy. In my last company, we used the Google platform and figured that out. That was great. I'd never been on Microsoft Office before, and at Quadrille, it's all Microsoft. And so it was like learning a new language. And it's taken so long, and I'd be like, well, how do you do this? I don't know what a Teams is. I can't say I'm leveraging that as much as I could be yet. I'm still figuring that out. But I think technology-wise, like, it is fantastic now that everyone can be a little bit more remote, because I think we're set up on our laptops or whatnot more cohesively. And so, you know, I can go to a tenant meeting or a construction meeting or something, and I can pull everything up and be like, oh, this is what you're looking at, or this is what the information you're looking for. And, you know, I can answer you quicker and more fulsome. And I think those types of interactions will only improve with the technology that we have now.
Yeah, amazing. Very cool. Community engagement is a crucial aspect of both community design and property management. How do you foster strong relationships with the communities that you serve? So, you know, beyond the, you know, the BOMA that you're connecting with, but how about like specifically to your portfolio that you're working with?
Yeah, and that's a little bit of a goal of mine, I guess, is how do I elevate and kind of reshape the industrial tenant engagement and community place building? Because in an office building, it was, I'm not saying it's easier, but it's just different because everyone's in one kind of tower. And it was just kind of, you could pass by people every single day through the lobby. Whereas industrial, like, yeah, they're kind of all spread out all over the place. And yeah, just so the approach is a little bit different. And so it's your typical Stampede lunches and events like that. We're looking at building community gardens in our industrial centers and, you know,
really?
An opportunity for the staff there to either, you know, have some fresh vegetables for themselves or partake in a donation program back to the food bank.
Wow.
And so I think I'm hoping that will kind of build into something even more. And then we're kind of researching other ideas on how we can kind of expand on our community building for the tenants. And then I think it's, you know, as a team, Quadrille does a lot of volunteer work. And, you know, and so whether, you know, you're going and you're volunteering at the food bank or women's shelters or whatnot, I think, you know, fostering those types of interactions is also really important because it just, it spreads the community out and just make sure that you're remembering everybody.
Yeah, wonderful. Very, very good. Assuming janitorial is one of your largest ongoing costs, and as you know, I own a janitorial company, so I have to throw this in once in a while. What do you look for in janitorial companies when you're going to tender? You know, obviously there's the RFP and there's a different scoring, but what do you personally like to see?
I think not necessarily through the RFP process, but it's finding that company that is going to be your partner. Right. I mean, the janitorial team, holy moly, do they have, I think, one of like the hardest jobs, you know, and they're the people who are on the ground are most often your first point of contact for a lot of the tenants in the buildings. And, you know, so if you don't invest in those people and make them feel heard and valued and like capable, then all the interactions that they spread from there reflect that. And so I think it's so important to be able to, you know, have the manager or like who your customer service person is with the contractor just be someone who's really good at communicating as well and being kind of I guess maybe similar mind thought to me is, you know, how you interact with your team and how you support your team and again, like knowing that someone's not yelling at you because there's a paperclip on the floor. You know, like if the janitorial teams didn't do the work that they do as well as they do, could you imagine? It would just be chaos. It'd be mayhem.
Yeah.
And tears all over the place that no one would be mopping up. It'd be awful.
Well, that's wonderful to hear. I love hearing that. That's for sure. And, you know, we've always said that, you know, like treating your people with the utmost respect, it's not just a good thing to do, which it absolutely is a critical, but it's also a good business thing to do because you just get better results. You have less turnover. You know, like at the end of the day, the results to the client show through by happier, you know, happier people. So That is, and it is, you're right, it's sometimes hard to tangibilize that through an RFP.
It really is.
Awesome. All right, now for some more fun questions. So if you can manage any property in the world, what property would that be and why?
This one, I would have to say I love the heat. My spirit animal is a lizard, and I just want to be on a beach somewhere. So if I had to manage like a hotel chain and my worry was too many geckos and sand in the lobby, sign me up. I could happily do that one.
Amazing. Do you have any specific region like in the that you'd want to be in, or that you really have your heart set on? Or
no, I don't think I'm stuck on any.
Okay, as long as it's got the weather.
Yeah. I went to Bali years ago and had the most incredible experience. And I mean, if I could go back and do all that there, I also wouldn't.
Amazing. Do you sometimes question that we're kind of crazy living in Canada with this weather?
You know, it's funny. There's times where I'm like, yeah, what are we thinking? Like, I'm done with this weather. Yeah. And then, but I also love all outdoor sports all year round.
Yeah.
And so
right. You're a skier.
Really bored if I get winter.
Right. Okay. So a place to go for both. Yeah. So you'll never leave Canada for good. That's good. Awesome. And then my last question, if you could recommend any book to aspiring property managers, and it doesn't have to be a property management book per se, what book would that be and why?
So Daring to Lead by Brené Brown. I think that one's really good. There's just lots of really good nuggets about being human, being vulnerable, just being you, and having that as part of your leadership structure. Very different from like way back in the day where leadership was a very different thing. It was a little bit quieter and a little bit more removed. And so that book, I think, is just a really great one to just, it's stuff everybody already knows, but it just reminds you and brings it up and makes it a little bit more relatable. Yes. And then I just started reading, it was given to me, it's Atomic Habits. I can't remember the author.
Me either, actually, but I've read it as well. I've done the audiobook of it.
So I'm just starting on it, but I think that one's going to be fantastic. And just, what can I do to tweak my day to be that much more efficient and procrastinate less?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, we could all do that with all the distractions out there. So that's awesome. Yeah, that book was really useful for me. That's for sure. So
what would be your favorite book?
Oh my goodness! I wasn't ready for that one. usually when someone asks me that, it's usually one of the more recent books that I've read that it comes to my mind. I just finished Shoe Dog. That's a memoir of Phil Knight, a Nike. What a story! Like that guy. He went through so many struggles before he became successful that people don't know about. And, and he had to, he was such a big dreamer. And so I could really relate with that. And he just never gave up. Right now I'm reading, the Lululemon book, Stretchy Pants, by Chip Wilson, and his memoir, and loving that. I don't know if you know this. I didn't know, but he grew up in Calgary.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I had no idea either. But like a lot of the book is his experiences in Calgary. He founded West Beach, which is like a surf, snowboard and skate company. So I bought shorts from there. I remember years ago when I was a kid buying board shorts because I was on my way to Australia from there. I had no idea that was the Lululemon founder. So another great book. I could go on and on, but we'll stop with those ones because those are my most recent reads. So, great. So how can, listeners, there might be a property manager out there that's, looking to really grow and to, to get to the level that you are today. How can they reach out to you if you're open to that, and where can they
absolutely.
Connect with you?
Awesome. LinkedIn's always an easy way because everyone's got access to it. They can email me. LinkedIn's probably the easiest. And I 1,000% I'm happy to go for coffees or phone calls or whatnot and help if anybody has questions.
Amazing. You're awesome. Well, thank you so much, Tanya. I'm so honored to have you on, and I look forward to connecting with you and seeing you at the BOMA events, especially the Buckaroo Bash.
Well, thank you.
Thanks so much. Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.